asleep and fell off the pew and hit his head. He usually doesn't start sleeping until I begin preaching. He started his nap early today and fell off and hit his head. Wow. You must have kept him up too late last night. It's usually about 10 minutes from now that he dozes off. Well, good morning, everybody, and it's good to be here. This is Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. We're beginning Holy Week. We look forward to our prayer on what will be Holy Thursday, this Thursday night, for our prayer time. Please come out for that. And, of course, next Sunday is a big, big day. It's Easter Sunday. And we have a breakfast that's being prepared, and we have games and such, and a variety of people are coordinating those. In particular, we have Miss Russell, who has given me a note here for some of you to help her out with respect to not only the breakfast, but please do afford yourself of some of the gaming that already has begun in the Fellowship Hall. But Miss Russell is looking for us to participate in the sign-up sheet, which is also out there for our Easter breakfast. So it'll help coordinate all of that and know about our amounts and things like that. So please sign up for that. And also, if you are able, and I would urge you to be able to do this, we're going to have the opportunity here for our refrigerators long before next Sunday to be cleaned out. And so if there are things there that belong to you or things that need to be discarded, please do so. There may be some things that are there, and if so, just label them appropriately and all of that. And Kristen, is that about right? Okay, good, okay. Please help her out with those matters as we prepare for breakfast next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And then, of course, worship is at 10:30, and we look forward to that. By way of prayer, please continue to pray for Dennis and his recovery. We're hoping that he gets better soon, and be in prayer for our snowbirds who are on the way back. We're expecting Sister Jerry to be back with us next week. And please do be praying for this new venture that we're trying to put forth in terms of the community called Oakwood on the Way. And we continue to prep ourselves for being closer and more intimate and being salt and light increasingly in our culture here. So please, please, please be in prayer for that. I have good news and bad news for you here today. The bad news is that tomorrow is April 15th, and your civil government taxes are due. The good news is that I'm not going to preach on tithing, at least not directly. In the past, there would have been times when almost once a year I would try to do this, but really, it has been several years since I have preached on tithing, and there's a good reason for that. And the good reason for that is that many of you have been most astoundingly faithful. Peter gave us a report here and for the first quarter of this year, and you know, I just commend you, and I thank God for you and your faithfulness, and so keep on being faithful going forward. I'm going to try to maintain my discipline, because I could really go off on a tangent on the importance of tithing vis-a-vis taxes and all that sort of thing about who we're really honoring. I'm going to try to resist that as I do. But when I said I'm not going to preach on tithing, I'm not going to preach on tithing directly. I am going to preach on cost today. The cost of living for Christ, the cost of worship. I'm going to talk about commitment. I'm going to talk about sacrificial worship and sacrificial living. And I'm hoping you're going to be able to see it from our scripture reading here that certainly was more poignant and impactful for first century people than it is today. And so, the title of the sermon is Casting cloaks. And as we go through this, I want you to know that clothes are expensive, right? But they're not nearly as expensive proportionally today as they were back then. To give up your coat, your cloak, an important piece of clothing back in that day could be half of your year's wage. Very expensive item. I'm going to open with the scripture verse that we have from our gospel lesson, Luke 19 and 36. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. Father God in heaven, Lord, we ask that you would help us here today to see this. Perhaps this is a new thought for us, to see it in its fullness, to see it in its import for them, its import for us, what it means for us, what you would have us to do on this Palm Sunday and on every day as we seek to worship you. We thank you that today is celebratory and it represents victory. But we also would ask, Lord, that we would see that there's a cost and a commitment here that perhaps we've missed in the past. Help us to see it, find it, and live it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Who knew? Who knew that Palm Sunday was at least equally, if not more, about clothes and coats and cloaks than it was about palms? It's called Palm Sunday. It must be all about palms, only about palms. Did you notice that Luke, when we had our gospel lesson, he doesn't even mention palms. He doesn't even mention branches. And then we have Matthew 21 and 8. Let's look at this verse. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. That's a sidebar, and I'll show you why it's a sidebar in a minute. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them out in the way. The emphasis here is clearly on these casting of cloaks. Casting of clothes in the way. Why do I do it as a sidebar? Well, if we look at the ESV version of this very same verse here, and this is more precise and true to the Greek, it's not only about a whole bunch of people who did this and others did that. Specifically, it tells us that most of them, most of the crowd, were doing their things with their clothes and with cloaks. And we'll get into that as a whole. What's the difference between clothes and cloaks? We'll get into that later here. But most of them, not only was there a whole bunch of them, but the majority of them, by far, spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Now, I am not at all trying to say that it was not at all about palms. Palms are here, right? They're there. We're not trying to go that way. But clearly, Palm Sunday is about more than just palms. I also would submit that this is much about cost, and it's about commitment, and it's about gratitude, and it's about allegiance. And those concepts are really enveloped in this concept of clothing far more than they are in palms. My casting cloaks title echoes the casting crowns of Revelation 4 and 10. That's in the there and then when we get our rewards, Revelation 4 and 10, right? The 24 elders fell down before him. Will we all get to heaven, right? God's going to give us our rewards. We're going to get crowns. And we cast our crowns before him. He is worthy. He's really the one who should be getting these. We were just borrowing gifts and things from him. And he's the one who gets casting our crowns. there's a group called Cast and Found as well. But my title comes from this. It's an echo of this here, because this is an eternity, and what we do in life, as the famous line from The Gladiator says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. If we're going to cast our crowns before him, we ought to think long and hard about if that doesn't mean that we need to be casting our cloaks before him here and now while we live. And if palms represent celebration, and they do, palms represent victory and praise, and that's a part of this, make no mistake. This is a triumphal entry. If palms represent celebration and victory and praise, and they do, then cloaks represent something a little bit different. They represent cost and commitment and gratitude and allegiance. And we're going to see these concepts as we go forward. Now, I don't want to drive any sort of division or too deep of a division anyway between palms and cloaks. I don't want to do that. I want to make us aware that both of them are there. I don't want to drive that division too deeply. But I want to ask this question as we begin, and we'll develop this as we go along. I want to ask, is your walk and is your worship only more like palm waving? If that's true, that would be just as unbalanced as if it was only about cloak casting. We're trying to keep these together, even as we're really going to concentrate today only on one, but make sure we keep them together. The one you see, the idea of palm waving, might suggest, oh, I'm happy, but I'm just a fair weather friend. And you know what? Maybe we see that because within the week, these same people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. One might suggest a fair weather friend. The other might suggest a gloomy kind of like sunless slavery. I'm giving him my all. Time to make the donuts, right? We don't want that. As we focus on cloaks today, and we're going to focus on cloaks, I want us to make sure that we're good with cloaks and palms. Cloaks and palms. We're good with both. Backing up here. We know of the Old Testament imagery that is set forth for Palm Sunday and this triumphal entry. Jesus isn't the first king to present himself this way. A king is coming is the significance of the triumphal entry on Sunday. If we look at 1 Kings 1 and 33, we see that David has the same thing done for his son Solomon. The king said to those, unto him, he said, take with you servants of your Lord and cause Solomon, my son, I want him to ride on my own mule and bring him down. Bring Solomon in. So we see a precedent for this. And by the way, Solomon was to be a greater than David. If you look at verse 37 of this same passage, it says, the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. The point of Solomon coming is that he was going to be greater than David. And David was okay with that. Our Gospels remind us that Jesus is greater than David, and Jesus is greater than even Solomon, who was greater than David. Jesus is greater than Solomon. Luke 11 and verse 31. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So we should expect this kind of entry. We would expect this kind of reception for someone that God is putting forth as the king. And we get it. But there's another striking Old Testament analog going on here that we should not discount. And that's from 2 Kings 9 and 13. 2 Kings 9 and 13. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. You have 9 and 3. 9 and 13, is it?
I'm coming.
Did I write 13 on there?
No.
Yeah, I'm missing digits all over. They hastened up. Okay, they're going to make Jehu the king. Thank you, Kristen. That's a great recovery there. Then they hastened and they took every man his clothes. And they put it under him on the top of the stairs. They blew the trumpets and they said, Jehu is king. Okay, Jehu's coming on the scene. He's being inaugurated. And what do? They take their clothes, their garments, and they put it down. And he walks on. They give him a royal red carpet treatment because he's the king. That analog, that analogy is there for us on Palm Sunday. And I would submit that this symbolism is bursting with abundance for us. Blowing the trumpets, casting your cloak down in front of him, making the way, giving him the red carpet royal treatment, that is all here. He is the king. That's what they were announcing when Jesus was arriving. This royal red carpet treatment. But it's also like tithing a little bit. Your clothes were your most valuable possessions. And when you cast them down in front of the king, you were symbolizing. They were a representation of all you had and everything that you owned. And it was down before him. It was representative. And the concept is this, is that the king is one who really rightfully possesses even all of their possessions. All that I am, all that I have is yours. That's what these subjects were doing when they were taking off their cloaks and putting them down before the king. All that I have, all that I am belongs to you. And This garment is a token, like the tithe is a token. And that's what tithing is, representing the fact that everything I own comes from God. That's what they're doing here with their clothes. There's more in this analog, in this analogy here. There's also a hint of an old covenant worldview. And there was an old covenant worldview that said that the king was divine. And that's not necessarily bad, nor is it necessarily old, because God is the king, right? And God is divine. But in the old world, there was this idea that the ground of the earth is cursed, right? You remember this. Jesus came to restore and to redeem the earth, because when he touches the ground is now holy. But prior to that, there was this idea that the ground, you could be contaminated by it. And so purity would dictate that the king does not touch the ground. That's what's going on here. That they're taking their garments, their clothes, and putting them down because this royalty, this king, is not going to be contaminated by this unholy ground. And so for purity's sake, he is not to touch the ground. I would also add that more than that, clothing is our covering. You know what, King? You know everything about me. Everything I hope to be, good, the bad, the ugly, it's all about you, and clothing is my covering. We see that all over the Bible. And so this is a symbol here that we're nothing. We're naked. We are totally dependent upon you for salvation. So they cast their clothes before Jehu. For all of this symbolism, there is even more. The garments here that we see in the Old Testament reading, as well as those that we're going to see in Luke and in Matthew, like those spread before Jesus, were mostly robe-like apparel. And robes represent things in the Bible. Robes represent authority. And so all authority, any authority that I have as a pastor, as a father, as a citizen, as a parent, as a husband, all of my authority, any delegated authority that I have, any delegated authority that you have is now placed under his feet. recognizing that he is the one with all authority. I cannot act any more autonomously if I give my robe, my cloak, my outer garment, and put it under the feet of the king. It's his. And any that I have is delegated from him. But I place it before him. He's in charge. That's what happens when someone puts their robe down in front of the king. All of our authority belongs to him. It's under his feet. I hope you can see that this is not some kind of light and breezy, I feel good, palm waving. Right? Palm waving, I'm not saying it is, and there's a place for celebration. But palm waving can be this light and breezy, oh, I feel good, this guy makes me feel good. Not quite like in a James Brown kind of way, but almost maybe, right, Joe? I feel good. Not light and breezy like that. This, what we're talking about with these clothes, is a deep and a steadfast and an abiding statement that says, you are everything. You are everything to me. All of this is very much in line with John chapter 3, and John chapter 12, rather, in verse 3. We saw this in the gospel lesson last week where Mary comes and she has this vessel of this very expensive perfume, and she has stored up for it, and she stored up for it for his burial, but she breaks it and she just offers it unto Jesus. And this happened the day before Palm Sunday. So she wasn't exactly casting her cloak in front of him. She was doing the same thing in a different way by taking basically all of her living and breaking this vessel and pouring it out before him. Expensive, deep, abiding. You're my everything. That's what she did the day before Palm Sunday. Now, without getting all bogged down in the Greek language like I needed to do this week, and I did do this for several hours, looking through all the Greek words here about clothes and cloaks and garments and how are they different and robes and things of that sort. We find this word clothes in the King James in Luke chapter 19 and verse 36. Without getting bogged down in all of that, I want us to know that this is best understood as those upper clothes, outer clothes, and the most valuable items of apparel that we have. I think I already showed you that one passage there from the ESV where it says that they cast their cloaks. Okay? This is upper clothes. This is outerwear. This is most valuable items of apparel. This is not underwear. There's another word for that. This is not throwing out things that are cheap or inexpensive or throwaway items. This is you, and this is your livelihood. And this is everything you have. And it's representative of your authority and your allegiance and your trust and your dependency. I need a new covering. I'm giving you my covering. Not cheap, not throwaway items. There's a different word for that. By the way, it is for reasons like this that we must maintain that no civil authority is deserving of more than what we render to God. And isn't our heart's mindset to be rendering to God cloaks? Even so, our civil authorities are not content with that, right? They want the veritable shirt off our back as well as our robe. But let us think for a moment about our allegiance as we ponder robes and as we ponder backs. want you to think for a moment about our New Testament reading in Philippians in chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say that he didn't view being as God, being God, as something to be held on to. How does the King James say it here? He thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, meaning he didn't cleave to that prestige or that position or that honor. He gave it up. You want to read this verse in a sense as if Jesus disrobed his royalty for the purposes of his Father. He disrobed his royalty and he took on humanity. Jesus let go of that. He didn't hang on to his royalty rights. In verses 7 and 8, that's how it's what he did. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He disrobed his royalty. He gave up that right. He didn't view it as something to be held tightly to. That's what he did with his robe for the sake of his Father. And then he went to the cross. And a part of that humble obedience tells us what he did with his back. Our reading in the Old Testament was Isaiah 50, and all through there, there's a whole bunch of things that apply to the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave his back to the smiters. He had the flesh ripped off his back. That's what he did with his back. What about your robe? Your reputation and all the things that the robe represents. Those costly things that the robe represents. And what about your back? You know, we could look at this passage here about the triumphal entry and say, even the donkey gave his back, right? For Jesus to ride on. I want to close out here by challenging us. And I want us to see something that we've seen over and over and over, and hopefully I've taught over and over, and you've gotten it over and over and over again. And that is this concept that the church is to lead in the culture. The church does lead in the culture. And the culture follows what the church does. That the church leads, the culture follows. And I want us to see that this great event we know of as Palm Sunday, it began with the disciples casting cloaks. And the multitudes were following the lead of the disciples. Look again at Luke 19. 35 and 36 say this. They brought to him Jesus. They brought him the donkey to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt. These are the disciples here, right? So, okay, they made a saddle, so to speak, for Jesus on the colt. And then it says, they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now, we can take verse 36 to say that others in the multitude were doing it, but it better fits with the idea that the disciples were doing that. And then we come to verse 37 of this passage. And when he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So they began this work. They were the ones who did this tremendous, expensive, sacrificial, symbolic casting their cloaks in front of Jesus. Other disciples followed, and soon we come to Matthew 21, and verse 8. And what are we reading there? And a very great multitude, remember in the ESV, most of the people spread their clothes in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them in the way. We cannot expect the culture, the society, the world to do what we don't do. I'm not making a division here between waving palms and casting cloaks. But if all that the church does is wave palms in that light and breezy, only celebratory, praise-filled way, without the cost, without the allegiance, without the commitment of casting cloaks, the world will never do that. And I submit to you that by and large, what we have in our culture is a Christian culture which, symbolically, I'm not talking about what they do today or what they don't do today, I'm talking about symbolically with our lives, if we're simply, I feel good. And what Jesus means to me is, I feel good. How can we expect the world to respond in any way that's certainly not any better than that? Our example here is that the disciples that he sent out cast their cloaks, their robes, sacrificially. Expensive. All sorts of pregnant symbolism of allegiance, and he's our king and he's our everything. Other disciples follow along, and then most of those who follow. Wouldn't you like in our culture for most of the people in the culture to have a mindset that says, I am going to cast my cloak before the king, the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't that be? That won't happen unless the church does that first. And that's my challenge for you today. What's kind of like tithing? It's the whole of your life. Okay? We can't expect the culture, the society, the world to do what we don't do. And so be among those who are casting cloaks, even as you wave your. Father God in heaven, thank you for your grace, and Father, we trust that you would help us and implore us, Lord, all the more, Lord, to be your disciples. Lord, that your glory would be known in all the earth, and that every knee would bow, and every tongue would confess that indeed Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.